should the taxpayer be forced to pay for abortions? Of course, we would say no, absolutely not. And in fact, since 1976, the Hyde Amendment has blocked federal funding for abortion. It is named after the late U.S. Congressman who was from the Chicago area, Henry Hyde. Joining us right now to talk about the whole idea of federal funding abortions is Liz Anderson, and she is part of a group called StandUnited.org, or at least that is their website. And in fact, they're urging people to sign a petition related to Americans United for Life Action. Liz, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Okay, so I've set up the table a little bit. Why don't you talk a little bit about attempts to overturn the Hyde Amendment and force us as taxpayers against our wills to do abortions?
Sure, absolutely. So this petition was actually started right before the Democratic, the DNC went through.
By the way, I should say fund abortions, of course.
Correct, yes. Yeah. Knowing that Hillary Clinton has said multiple times that if she becomes president, it will be one of her number one goals to override the Hyde Amendment, which is really one of the last restrictions for abortion that we have. And the Hyde Amendment, as you mentioned, is a restriction making it illegal to use any type of federal funding for abortions, specifically for like Medicaid recipients. So right around as Hillary was starting to gain momentum and was becoming the nominee, we partnered with Americans United for Life Action to start this petition telling Congress not to overpeal that or to repeal that amendment, mm-hmm. protecting taxpayers from having to pay for abortions.
All right. Now, first of all, let me ask you this. I'm sure Obamacare muddies the waters here as far as the whole Hyde Amendment is concerned. Is that right?
It does in a lot of ways, since a lot of plans are forced to cover abortions.
So it's almost as if the Hyde Amendment's kind of at least been partially repealed, not that we, the people, ever had a say in it. Well, I guess we did in the sense that, Congress did vote for Obamacare, although it did vote, if you may recall, it voted for Obamacare on the specific premise that no abortions would be covered under Obamacare, and they lied, and they changed things after it passed.
That is absolutely correct. That's a lot of how it went down. And if you remember, right after Obamacare passed, a lot of these moderate Democrats that were the Blue Dog Democrats that were very pro-life and usually pretty economically conservative as well, were pushed out of office. They either retired voluntarily or they lost their elections because they were forced into voting for Obamacare under the guise that there wasn't going to be any type of federal funding for abortions, and then they were completely backstabbed by their party.
You know, one thing I have to say about watching both, or at least from afar, watching parts of the Democratic convention, watching parts of the Republican convention, and certainly major highlights. It is sad that for the most part, the Democrats were proud of their pro-abortion stance, whereas the Republicans didn't talk about it very much. The closest you got, I think, was, I guess, Mike Pence, the vice presidential nominee for the Republican side, did mention the sanctity of life, but it was only one part of one sentence, whereas the other side had Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood. It was like, let's celebrate abortion.
Right, you're absolutely right. And they actually had, I think, the president of NARAL was talking about her abortion experience. It's something that you think about a lot, just how things have changed in the past 10 years, where, 10, 15 years ago in the 90s, a lot of Democrats, including Hillary Clinton herself, really said that they supported abortion, but they wanted it to be safe, legal, and rare, and that they just want it to be legal at this point. They override laws to make abortion clinics safer and be held to the same medical standards as other clinics, and then they proudly promote abortion as just another form of birth control.
Hmm. You're absolutely right. So, by the way, this is an interesting thing because you would think that since the polls supposedly indicate that a slight majority of Americans now identify with being pro-life as opposed to pro-abortion rights, you would think then that, you know, those who are pro-life would be more proud of it. And I know, you know, I'm a proud pro-lifer. I know you are, but neither of us spoke at the Republican convention, nor should we have, you know. But right. it is perplexing.
It absolutely is, and the country definitely seems to be going more and more towards that direction. I personally am a millennial, and millennials are definitely, in the polling, are showing that they are more and more pro-life than the generations before us. So, you know, that's why this activism, these type of petitions, just getting involved is really important, because I think a lot of the leaders tend to overlook the fact that you know, people are becoming more pro-life, and that it's really important that things like the Hyde Amendment stay around.
Okay, so what specifically is the Hyde Amendment?
So the Hyde Amendment is what is a federal law, as you mentioned earlier, that was passed in 1976, that will block federal funding of abortions under Medicaid. It has the Hyde Amendment was what was also used as a prop to get the Blue Dog Democrats to vote for Obamacare, and then it was taken away at the end and removed from the bill completely. And it is what is overtly in the DNC platform as one of their main objectives to repeal, so that federal funding can go directly for abortions.
Is the Hyde Amendment still in place, at least in some ways?
In some ways it is, yes. Obviously, through Obamacare, there's loopholes in it a little bit, and Obamacare is such a muddled mess that it's hard to understand how all of the funding is working.
Well, as a matter of fact, you know, just stopping right there, just from a, you know, forget about abortion for a second. Obamacare is a disaster on every front economically. I mean, you know, it's just not working. It's imploding. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. Every day, you know, it seems like every day you turn on the news or you know, you just look at the headlines and there's a new group that's saying they're going to have to drop plans or whatever because it's not economically feasible for them to stay within the system.
Yeah. Okay, so, apart from Obamacare,
mm-hmm.
the Hyde Amendment still is in effect. And the Democrats have their sights on it. They want to remove it.
It was specifically mentioned in the DNC that they were planning on overturning
platform.
The Hyde Amendment. And I believe Hillary Clinton vowed to do it in her first term.
Wow. All right. So what do you think the majority of Congress feels about this right now? I mean, are there any polls in terms of where the Congress people stand?
I'm not sure if it's a big poll thing right now. I know that I know that a lot of people support the Hyde Amendment the way it is, and I think a lot of people who might even consider themselves moderately pro-choice do it with the understanding that, you know, other people's tax dollars aren't paying for it. It's a private decision that people pay for with their own money. So I think even people who are just moderately pro-choice support the Hyde Amendment, which is why it's really important for activists to really, you know, contact your congressman and tell them that you support the Hyde Amendment and that you will not be voting for them if they would ever support overturning it, and just make sure you're very vocal about that.
Hmm. All right. And how is the this campaign being received so far?
It's doing really well. We have at our last count, we have almost 900 signatures. It's been around for probably around a month or so now, so it's pacing. We continue to just promote it as well as, you know, push it on our social media accounts. You know, AUL has been very helpful in doing a social media campaign for it, as well as our own resources.
Okay, and people can get more information at standunited.org. I'm curious about your own background in terms of, you mentioned that millennials, at least by a slight majority, are now mostly pro-life. How did you personally become pro-life? Why do you care about this issue?
Well, I grew up in the Bible Belt in Midwest, so it's just been something that's kind of always. That's just kind of
Wait,
how
the
you
Bible
always,
Belt and the Midwest. Those are two different things,
well,
aren't they?
Well, that's true. Bible Belt is south, but like I grew up in the Midwest, which is very similar to the Bible Belt of that. And I went to a private college. It's just something that, you know, the more I studied, even in my more rebellious age and days, you know, it's one thing that I never really wavered on. And just as you do the scientific research and all of the, just what the process of abortion does to a human being and the fact that, you know, the heart beats like super early on in the first trimester, and the babies can feel pain, and the way that they move when you know, you have all these videos of the abortion doctors trying to pull them out and the babies are trying to move away from it. It's like they know what's about to happen to them, and it's just really unconscionable that people can talk about it so lightheartedly and celebrate that kind of thing when you're literally tearing apart a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's interesting, too, what you mentioned about how initially politicians were talking about let's make abortion safe, legal, and rare. And now you're right. It's just the legal part. Let's make it legal, even if it's not safe, even if it's not safe for the women. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what, you know, some of the take-home messages are from, at least at some of the interpretations in the wake of the recent Supreme Court decision on this.
Right, absolutely, especially with the law being overturned in Texas. That law was essentially just holding abortion clinics to the same standards as other medical facilities, and the abortion lobby didn't want that. They don't care that they put women's health susceptible to staph infections and all sorts of crazy stuff that can go on in these abortion clinics when they're not held to the same standards.
Do you think that if the Hyde Amendment is repealed, that there would be an increase in the number of abortions because then it would be free to a larger group of people? At least they wouldn't have to pay for it.
I think it's very possible. I think it may not be a sudden increase, but I think people will be a lot more lax about how they live their lives, knowing that it's not going to be it's not going to be an expensive decision for them down the road.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can think of a personal anecdote. I know a lady that I've interviewed from who was living in Canada at the time she had an abortion, and she said I had to pay maybe $25. And she said the cheap aspect, in other words, most of it was covered by the government.
Right.
And she said there was definitely a financial incentive. And by the way, she totally regrets having had that abortion, and she was never able to have a child. And that does happen, I think, about maybe 10% of the time that the women who have abortions are not able to conceive later. So the one and only time you had a chance, you live with the consequences that you're not able to have a child. And if you want to have a child, that's a great tragedy.
Right. It's 10% is a pretty high percentage. There's a lot of, you know, there's all sorts of horror stories of things that happen, and then there's just the fact that you have the, you know, both the man and the woman involved with that have postpartum stress about it and depression. That decision is never going to leave you.
And so the idea then that our own government would force us to pay for that which we disagree with, and if you don't, you know, I guess you get punished for not paying your taxes or whatever. It's unconscionable. Okay, we have 30 seconds to conclude. Your comments, and I'll give the website, standunited.org. Make your voice heard against the repeal of the Hyde Amendment. Your comments in closing.
Absolutely. Just come to our website and sign our petition. You know, if there's another local issue that you have, whether it's a pro-life issue or anything like that, definitely come to standunited.org and see how you can get involved and really make a difference for the values.
Okay, Liz Anderson, thanks so much for being with us. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.